I know people are having trouble getting in, but we'll call the Government Operations Committee to order. I see we have a lot of controversial bills on our agenda today. That's why they, all those people out there. Representative Freiberg, have you taken a look at the minutes?
Yes, Mr. Chair, and I will move approval.
It's a motion to move the minutes from the January 30th, 2013 meeting. Is there any corrections or that need to be done to it? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motions are, our minutes are approved. A little happy with that hammer there. We'll start out here. Is Representative Detmer here? Okay. Glad you were able to make it through. Is it your bill that's so controversial that has everybody backed up out there?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members.
Welcome to the committee, and if you want to introduce yourself and introduce your testifier and then proceed with your bill.
Yes, with me today is Jennifer Wagnidius. I don't know if there's a connection there with the representative, but we don't think so. But from Washington County, and I think many of you have experienced some situations this last campaign where you were door knocking maybe in an area and all of a sudden you find out that, well, that's not really my area. That's happened to me. And we have a situation in Washington County with Senate District 39. I represent 39A, and Kathy Lohmer, Representative Lohmer, represents 39B. And there's a little area, I think there's approximately 12 homes that are in question here of the lines that were drawn. So if I would allow Jennifer to speak to that.
Welcome to the committee, and please state your name for the tape and then proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. I'm Jennifer Wagnidius. I'm the Director of Property Records and Taxpayer Services at Washington County. And during the 2012 redistricting process, Stillwater Township was split into House Districts 39A and 39B, with 12 township residents in 39B and all others in 39A. While the township was able to have a shared polling place for the 2012 election, this split required separate ballot programming and printing and distinct ballot style. In addition to creating administrative burden, a precinct of this size begins to threaten voter privacy. We had seven voters in 2012. Modifying the boundary will ease administrative burden for the county and township and ensure voter privacy. So the adjustment will add 12 voters to District 39A, Representative Detmer's district, and 39B, Representative Lohmer's district, will lose 12 voters. The adjustment was previously considered as part of a broader bill in 2012 that includes Senate District 49, which was vetoed by the governor in part because of timing and lack of bipartisan support. During a Senate hearing yesterday, there was a question as to whether there's an administrative process that could fix this boundary, and the Secretary of State's office did research that, and there is no option administratively for us to make this correction. There's no opposition to this adjustment, and Stillwater Township requested a plan correction in 2012. This bill and the Senate companion both have bipartisan authors. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Representative Detmer, I'm looking at the map that was handed out here, and are we talking about the yellow portion below Delwood Road? Is that the part that we moved into the north of into 39A?
Mr. Chair, yes, Delwood Road, that red line, the Delwood Road, just be moved down to the next area there, where that's shaded a little more color. Yes, that's correct.
Any other questions of the testifier or the on the bill? Representative Freiberg.
I know there are requirements that legislative districts have comparable populations. I don't think it needs to be exactly identical, but I'm assuming making this change won't cause a problem as far as consistency of the population. Maybe that's a question for House Research.
Representative Detmer, maybe
Chair, I don't think that's an issue. I think we're looking at, I believe, 12 homes. And there was no poll to determine if they're Republican or Democrat either. So it's just that they would like to be at the same voting precinct that the rest of the Stillwater Township votes at.
Representative Kwan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Having a lot of townships and been involved with them, I do know that they would appreciate a simplified election process and not having, being cut up. And I think that this, the local townships, I'd like to find out if they're agreeing, and then if anyone has an idea of the additional cost for having two different kinds of ballots, et cetera.
Ms. Wagenius, would you be able to answer that question? Or?
Mr. Chair, members, we do have support of Stillwater Township for this change, and they, in fact, had requested a correction in 2012. I don't have a detailed cost analysis for the programming of the ballot or the administration on election day or printing, but those are the types of costs that we would incur.
And then, so the people, right, at the last election, they voted with the city of Stillwater, and now they're going to be voting with the township, Stillwater Township. Ms. Wispedius.
Mr. Chair, members, we actually had to have a separate precinct in the Stillwater Township, so we had a shared polling location, but a separate precinct for these 12 potential voters.
Thank you. Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Historically, after the redistricting, the legislature has considered matters such as this and corrected, made corrections through bills after the vote, after the November elections. And so this is certainly in order. But my question is, how does this affect the school district's votes?
Representative Detmer or Ms. Wagenius?
Mr. Chair and Representative Murphy, Stillwater Township and the city of Stillwater and May Township, they're all the same school district. That does not affect the school district at all. It's a large school district.
And
Representative Murphy.
And Representative Detmer and Ms. Wagenius, does the school district have the same voting places as the city county does?
Representative Detmer.
Mr. Chair, I know there's, I have three precincts in Stillwater, the city of Stillwater, and then the Stillwater Township has a precinct. May Township has a precinct. Marina St. Croix has a precinct, but they all are part of the Stillwater School District. So they're just different. They're set up not by county precincts, but regular precincts in the city and the townships. So.
Have we, Mr. Chair?
Representative Murphy.
Representative Detmer, did this change? Did you consult with the school district before coming to make this change?
Representative Detmer.
I'll let my cohort answer that.
Ms. Wagenius.
Mr. Chair, members, there was not a discussion with the school district. As Representative Detmer stated, this is all part of School District 834. The polling locations for the school district board members were the same as all of our other precinct polling locations.
Representative Murphy. I can't see you, that's why. I know in my legislative district, we have one part where it's divided between two school districts. 10 years ago when they drew the lines, we had an issue in one of these school district elections that follow with the regular election that people got the wrong ballots at polling places. And this year when they drew the lines in that part of my district, they drew a West 1 Osseo and a West 1 Robbinsdale, and they drew it down, and they have separate polling places, so we don't have that issue. And I know also in my district, the school district polling places don't always line up with the regular polling places when we have elections, when the school board has their elections. So,
and as Mr. Chair, as we mentioned, that it's all one school district, the township and the different townships are part of the Stillwater School District.
Representative Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I don't know if Representative Murphy or Representative Detmer or anybody here knows, we're expecting other bills of this type to be coming forward this session. I don't know if others have been introduced or not. My suggestion would be if we have a number of them, we don't pass a whole bunch of individual bills but we'd collect them and send them together as kind of a omnibus redistricting corrections bill. Representative Murphy, any thoughts on that?
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, I'm not proposing any changes, but I know of two situations that could very well come through a bill. But I would have a lot more to say about one of them than I have to say about this one. This one's fine.
Representative Winkler.
So, Mr. Chair, I guess this may be a question back to you. I don't think this is supposed to go to the Elections Committee. I don't think that was your or whoever's motion it was.
I was going to try to fix that. We forgot to make the motion before we started the testimony, but we can do that. Was my understanding this was going to go to the General Register. Representative Simon has not asked for it. I guess if it gets to the General Register and he wants to see it, he can ask to have it come back there so before it gets second reading. So.
All right. Well, Mr. Chair, I guess I'm not sure I have enough information to suggest a better path than to take these up one at a time. I'm sure Representative Detmer would like to get this to the General Register as quickly as possible.
Yeah, let's Mr. Chair, yeah, let's get it done. Let's take it forward.
If we wanted to kill it, we could put it in the consent calendar. But that. Representative Kahn.
Well, there was one problem once that if you made a certain level of redistricting changes, that then triggered a total redistricting. And there was some point I remember early in my career where redistricting was proposed to help a specific legislator whose house was just outside the district that he represented, and there was this court decision that if you made enough changes, it couldn't do it. And you know, that seemed pretty small change, but it wasn't made for that reason. And so I would suggest it's not that much trouble to do a bill one at a time, and I suggest that we do them rather than trigger a possible massive redistricting for all of us.
And Representative Kahn, if I remember,
and
my memory's not as good as it used to be,
elections.
But if I remember 10 years ago, we had two minor adjustments.
Right.
One was in Representative Carlson's district, and I can't remember where the other one was. And I think that one involved eight houses moving, and I don't know what the other one was, but I think it was 2 10 years ago that we did.
Well, I suggest that we move this on, and if something else comes up, we can look at it. It's, you know, often not as much trouble to move a bill separately as it is to try and assemble them all together and move them.
Representative Ward.
Just a quick clarification. I'm assuming that this does not impact the redistricting of the county commissioners' guideline or boundaries.
Representative,
is that right?
Detmer.
Mr. Chair, Representative, no, it does not affect the county commissioners.
Any further questions on the bill? If not, I make the motion that House File 153 be passed and moved to the General Register. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Motion passed.
Thank you.
Representative Runga. There she is. Okay. Welcome, Representative Runbeck, welcome to the committee.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, members. A simple bill today, House File 155. It's been around a number of times.
Representative Runbeck, why don't we get to it proper here, and I'll move House File 155 to be passed and moved to the General Register.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members. This bill deals with notaries, public, and the fees that are charged. And we're talking about permitting in law, because these fees are set in law, that we move from the current $1 per issue to $5. The fee has not been changed since 1983. I think the complexion of the industry is seeing some changes, and maybe Mr. Black can speak to that, but the number of individuals who sign up to be registrars and pay the $140 renewal fee and buy the equipment and get the training is reducing, is declining. I think we need these people. They're agents of the state. And the other interesting thing is that these are now oftentimes small business owners. And last year when I when I brought the bill, I had a UPS owner, and today we have a couple of other UPS owners in the audience, and they may, you may wish to question them. But mailboxes, etc., PostNet, some of these office service and supply companies find that this is part of the one-stop convenience, you know, that the private sector is providing for some of these government documents. So it seems a reasonable amount. We cap it as opposed to, well, we cap it. But at any rate, I will let Mr. Black maybe speak to the background a little further.
Welcome to the committee, and please state your name for the tape.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. My name is Bert Black. I am the legal advisor for the Office of the Secretary of State. The Office of the Secretary of State has been responsible for the last, I think it's 8 years now, for the registration of notary publics. And there is an urban myth that sometime back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, we were responsible for that too. Not sure if that's the 1940s, 50s, and 60s, or the 1840s, 50s, and 60s, since notaries public have been with us for the entire duration of our state, pretty much. And notaries public are, I mean, it's not just a license, it's an appointment. It's an appointment that is confirmed by the other body every year. And there are many thousands of notaries public in the state, almost many of them are, in fact, not related to government in any way. They are private citizens, and the fees that are paid to them are paid to them as private citizens. Representative Runbeck mentioned that there hadn't been a fee change since 1983, but let me just tell you that some of these fees that are in the bill before you were set at least in 1905 and possibly before. I took the trouble to go on the internet and determine what the value of a dollar in 1905 was. A dollar in 1905 would be $24.64 today. So I think you'll find that the increases that are being talked about in this bill are well within that. And of course, as I said, in many cases, these fees are being paid to private citizens for their work as notaries public. Notaries public are governed by Minnesota statutes, chapters 357, 358, and 359, which talk both about the notaries and the registration process, as well as the legal forms of notarization, you know, signed and sworn before me this 5th day of February 2013. I think everybody has seen that for what's called the simple acknowledgement. But there are other things that notaries do as well. The Secretary of State's office has testified in favor of this in previous years. I think even before Representative Runbeck had it, I think Representative Portman had this 4 years ago. It's been hanging around for a while. And that bill was passed, but I think it was vetoed by the previous governor. Anyway, so that is what I can tell you about notaries. I'd be glad to take it.
Any questions of the testifier? Representative Ruskowski.
Mr. Chair, I would like to offer an oral amendment to the bill. Mr. Chair, members, last year Representative Runbeck had a bill that just outright repealed this statute that would allow for, I would think practically would allow for that contract to develop between the individuals. So I'd like to orally amend by striking on everything on line 1.2 after the semicolon, and then replacing then on the end of line 1.2, and I'm working off of Representative Runbeck's very short repealer bill last year. It would say, after the semicolon, repealing certain maximum fees, semicolon, repealing Minnesota, and then we would need to strike 1.3 and insert statutes 2010, comma, section 357.17, period. And then we would need to strike line 1.5 and insert section 1, period, repealer, underlined and bolded, period. And then lastly, strike 1.6 and insert Minnesota statutes 2010, comma, section 357.17, comma, is repealed, period.
Mr. Shepard, do you have that? Or?
And then, Mr. Chair, we would delete the remaining lines. I'm sorry.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Winkler.
Mr. Chair, if I remember right, when we had 7 hours of hearings on the health care exchange bill, Representative Druskowski offered a substantive oral amendment that hadn't been submitted prior to the committee hearing, and it's hard to imagine a oral amendment that would be both more complicated and more substantive than this that was not submitted ahead of time. And I wonder if it would be the intention of the chair to permit that amendment. I certainly object to having it being offered without having any semblance of following the rules of the committee.
Representative Winkler, I think we're sharing a brain cell this morning, because I was, as he was reading it, I was getting lost and having trouble finding it. That's why I asked, or following it. That's why I asked Mr. Shepard if he had it. Representative Runbeck, what is your feelings on that amendment?
Chairman.
Mr. Chairman and committee, I would support that. I think we look to our neighboring states. South Dakota charges $10. The argument has been made that there are some areas of the state that are very sparsely populated, and you may run into a situation where someone has traveled many miles only to find that there's an unusually exorbitantly high price for this. But it seems that that would be pretty unusual. The market will set the right price. I'm confident. I'd be happy with the change.
Representative Dill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Will I make a motion to lay the bill on the table?
Motion's been made to lay the bill on the table. That's not debatable. All in favor of laying the bill on the table, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Mm-hmm. Motion, the bill's been tabled. And with that, I think that's all we have on our agenda for today. So I move adjournment.